Welcome to day 149. We are up to Perek Hey, Mishnah Gimel. I apologize again. As you can tell, when I'm in Poland, I often lose my voice because there's a lot of davening, a lot of singing and dancing, Baruch Hashem. So I apologize. I'll try to be as loud as possible, but it's very important that we continue learning our Mishnayos. So as an introduction to this Mishnah, we just need to remind ourselves of the halacha of Bior, which means that during the seventh year, we're allowed to pick produce, right? Things are ownerless. You're allowed to pick produce. Everyone else is allowed to pick produce. You're allowed to bring a little bit into your house, not to store it, but a little bit to store for just a bit. Now the halacha is that once a certain sort of produce is no longer in the field, meaning once that season is over, so let's say you picked apples, you brought a few into your house, and then those apples are no longer growing in the field. At that point, if it's no longer in the field, you're not allowed to have it in your house anymore. You have to take the remaining parts in your house, bring that produce outside, and you have to do bior. Now what bior is a machlokas. We're going to assume right now is that you have to make it ownerless. You have to make it ownerless. Okay. Now, what happens after it's ownerless? Who's allowed to acquire it? So there are two opinions. Rabbi Yehuda says that only the poor are allowed to acquire it after bior. So you have these apples, now they're no longer growing in your field. You have to remove the apples from your house, and now you have to say, if you do bior, you have to make them ownerless, and at that point, only the poor are allowed to acquire them. Rabbi Yossi disagrees. Once you make them ownerless, then anyone is allowed to acquire them. The rich, the poor, and even you, you're allowed to reacquire them. So with that in mind, we're going to learn about the case of aluf. We already started learning about that, this sort of onion that would often continue growing and take root even after, and we're going to see a case. So the case is that you have a loof growing in the ground, you picked it during the seventh year, and you have it in your house, but then that sort of onion, the loof, stops growing in the field, it already disappears from the field, and now you have to do bior. So what do? You remove it from your house, you bring it outside, and you put it in your field, you say it's ownerless. But when you put it in your field, it starts to take root again, and it grows throughout Shviz and into the eighth year. So now the question is, anything that grew in the eighth year is obviously only eighth year produce, and therefore it's totally yours, you're allowed to use it. But anything that grew after the bior, you brought it out to the field, right? And it started growing again. Anything that grew after bior, so the question is, whose is it? Who owns that sort of growth? So it says Mishnah Gimel, Luf Shavar Luf Shviz. Again, Luf, this is the case that it you brought it out into the field, it started growing again, and now the seventh year passed. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Im Laktu Aniyam, as alav lakatu, anything if the aniyim collected the leaves, meaning if the aniyim collected any part of it during the seventh year, then it's theirs. That's of course true, because after bior, everyone agrees that the aniyim can take it. The only question is whether only the aniyim can take it or not. Maybe you're allowed to reacquire it after bior as well. But if the aniyim take it after bior, then it's theirs, no problem. Vimlav. But if aniyim didn't take it, then yaseh cheshbon im aniyim. You have to make a calculation with aniyim. Why? Because anything that grew after the eighth year, we said, is yours. It's the eighth year. But anything that grew after the seventh year, Rabbi Eliezer is going to hold like Rabbi Yehuda. And he's going to say that after bior, the only one who can acquire that produce are aniyim, are the poor. And therefore, now you have these luf that weren't collected yet. Part of the growth is eighth year growth, and therefore it's yours. Part of it is post bior in the seventh year, and that belongs to the aniyim. So you have to make a cheshbon. You have to calculate. Some of it belongs to you. Some of it you have to give to the aniyim. That is Rabbi Eliezer's opinion. Rabbi Yeshua, Omer, Rabbi Yeshua disagrees. Im laktu aniyim es alav lakatu. He agrees, of course, that if the aniyim collected in the seventh year, then it's theirs, of course, because everyone agrees, again, that the aniyim are allowed to collect after bior. The question is, are they the only ones that are allowed to? So he says, im lav, but if they didn't collect, then ein la aniyim alav cheshbon. The aniyim have no a claim to the growth, meaning to say that for sure the growth in the eighth year, again, is yours. But the growth that happened at post-bior during the seventh year, Rabbi Yeshua is going to say that is also yours, because he agrees with Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi says that anyone can acquire it after bior, even you. And therefore, the aniyim can make no claim to that, because anything that grew after the bior is yours, because you're allowed to acquire it. And you're also, of course, anything that's in the eighth year is also yours. So again, we have this machlokas, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Eliezer is going to hold like Rabbi Yehuda, that only the aniyim are allowed to acquire it after bior, and therefore, you have to split its growth between you and them. But Rabbi Yoshua agrees with Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Yossi says that anyone could acquire it after bior, and therefore all of the growth is yours. That is Mishnah Gimel. Now Mishnah Dalet. We know generally when it comes to produce, or specifically vegetables, that the year in which it's considered goes by when they are picked. So if they're picked in the seventh year, they're seventh year. When it's picked in the sixth year, the vegetables, then they're sixth year. But that's usually because they continue growing up until the moment you pick them. But let's say there's an exception. Let's say there's a type of vegetable that completely finishes growing beforehand, But the minhag, the custom, is to leave them in the field because it preserves them, but it doesn't continue growing. So the halacha in that case is that that's the exception. Then it doesn't go by when they're picked. It goes by when they finished their growth. We're going to see three examples of that in our case. Luf shel erev shvis, shenichnas l'shvis. Luf is the onion that we've been seeing so far. A luf that finishes its growth in the sixth year, but you leave it into the seventh year, but it doesn't grow anymore. It's considered a sixth-year fruit. Or six-year produce. Same thing, find bitzalim hakitzonim, a type of onion that would grow in the summer, and v'chein pua shel idis, a type of produce that would grow in fertile ground and would give off a red dye. In all three of those cases, they reached their full maximum growth in the sixth year, but they were left in the ground in the seventh year. Now, what's the problem? You want to pick them in the seventh year. Well, that's totally fine. You're allowed to, because they're sixth-year produce. They're not seventh-year produce. You're allowed to pick them in the seventh year. What's the problem, though? People won't know that. It'll look like you're digging during the seventh year, maybe to plant. That's usually what happens. So you're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to do anything that looks like you're planting during the seventh year. So how do you uproot this sixth-year produce in the seventh year without looking like it is seventh-year produce? So they shamay omrim, okrinosan, b'marafus shel eitz. You dig it up with a wooden shovel. That's not the norm. Usually you dig it up with a metal shovel. Beishamay says you have to make a shino, you have to make a differentiation. If you're doing it with a wooden shovel, everyone would know that if you were really planting, you'd use a regular shovel. And therefore, it must be that you're doing it just because it was sixth year produce, they're uprooting their seventh year, so it's a shinoi, you're doing it differently than usual, and therefore it is totally fine. Beis Hillel Omrim, they say, no, you can do it regularly. There are different ways to understand this, but we're going to assume that you're allowed to do it regularly with regular metal shovels. Why? Because that sort of produce, the luf and the maruf, is all that. Everyone knows that that is something that usually is left in the ground longer after past it's ripened. And therefore, if they see you digging up luf, they'll know that you're not planting something during the seventh year. But instead, they know the luf likely finished during the sixth year, and therefore you're just picking it during the seventh year. Now, umodim Beishamai agrees with Beis Hillel when it comes to a pua, that type of plant that gives off the red dye. When it is planted, shel tzlaos, in a rocky ground, how did Beishamai agree with Beis Hillel? She'okronosav b'kardam ha'shem antachos, they agree that in that case you would be allowed to dig it up regularly, even with a metal shovel. Why? Because if you're digging up in this rocky ground, no one plants in rocky ground. It's very poor. It's very poor conditions for planting. And therefore, if they see that you're uprooting it in rocky soil, they know that you're only uprooting that which was already there. And you're not planting something new because no one would do that. And therefore, you don't need to make a further shinoi. It's already obvious that it's not seventh-year produce, but only sixth-year produce. So you'd be allowed to do it in the normal way. We will continue with Mishnah Hay tomorrow.